Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one
question. Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
And one question only. How do you feel?
What you think about that, D.A.?
We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up this week, NFL Films releases on the NFL Network its latest project. They're always awesome. I'm always addicted to them. I'm just watching right now the Jerry Jones episode. It's A Football Life, which is featuring Aeneas Williams, who's an 8-time Pro Bowler, a first-team All-Pro 4 times. He was a member of the NFL's All-Decade team of the 1990s, a member of the Arizona Cardinals' Ring of Honor, and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Aeneas Williams, A Football Life, debuting this week, and he joins us here on the show. Aeneas, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Should I call you Damon or D.A.?
You know, I go with either one. A lot of people just like D.A. because my last name's Amendolara, and that's a little bit too much of a mouthful for people. But you're the Hall of Famer, so I'm going to let you decide what you want to call me.
I'll call you Damon. How about that?
All right. I appreciate that. That's very good. That makes me feel good. My mom would appreciate that as well. So I always thought about this watching you when you were with the Cardinals. You didn't play in a lot of playoff teams. You didn't play in a lot of good teams. You played in a lot of losing teams. And I always wondered, boy, I wonder if Aeneas Williams worries about getting recognition because he's never playing in the big games on national TV. Ultimately, you got to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so you got that recognition. When you were playing there in Phoenix, in Arizona, did you worry about that?
No, I never worried about it. One thing, football, I was living out part of my dream, and that was to play in the National Football League. So I'm on one of the 32 teams. And obviously, football is the ultimate team sport. But here was the key, Damon, is I decided, with the help of my relationship with Christ, that no matter how many games we won or lost, I never would ever become a loser. And that meant always striving for excellence in whatever hand you're dealt. I've learned to figure out how to play the best hand that you're dealt with and be appreciative of the opportunity. So, no, I never, ever regretted the time that I had in Arizona because that's the team who drafted me as well.
You came out of Southern, which is not a football factory for NFL players. You come out of Southern with a chip on your shoulder saying, I can prove I can play. Were you wired that way?
No, because LSU, right across town in Baton Rouge, has 3 Hall of Famers. Southern University has 2. Mel Blount being the other. Southern University has a history of players coming out of Southern University and coming out of the SWAC conference. And believe it or not, Damon, I literally played against at least 7 to 8 wide receivers who also played in the league. I played against them, and one of my teammates was a wide receiver as well that all played in the National Football League.
Well, I didn't realize that. That's a pretty amazing stat right there. Aeneas Williams joins us here on the show. So you had some great battles, and when you were with the Cardinals, that was the NFC East. And so you're going up against, at that time, the dynasty of the 90s, and that was the Dallas Cowboys. You guys end up defeating them in the playoffs a couple of years later. And I wonder, Michael Irvin is interviewed in this Football Life. Was he your best matchup? Was that the one you looked forward to the most over the course of your career?
Well, certainly Michael and I had those battles. And the one thing I knew about playing with the Cardinals and the Cowboys, even though we would always play them very tough, it's kind of like today when you see New England plays Buffalo or the Jets. For some reason, those games are always close, but New England seems to always find a way to win. That's kind of how it was with us. We were like probably to the Cowboys, maybe like the little step guys. But those battles with Michael, one of the things Michael was intimidating. And I would literally, as I was studying film, I would see defensive back cornerbacks at some point during the game, he would break their will. So one of the things with Michael, the physicality, I was a lot stronger, even though I wasn't as big, than most people realize. So I love the battles because battles with guys like Michael helped bring out the best in me and helped me overcome my fears.
A decade with the Cardinals, you had not made the playoffs until 1998. You made it once, and that was the year you beat the Cowboys and Michael Irvin. I would argue that was the official end of their dynasty. How much glee did you guys take in finally getting that playoff win and getting it against a team that had won three championships?
Man, I can almost smile right now because not only to beat the Cowboys, but to beat them in their stadium. And matter of fact, I joked in my Hall of Fame speech, as you remember, Damon, that's when they had the stadium with the hole in the roof, where it was declared that God, it was the hole in the roof because the Cowboys were not only America's favorite team, but God was looking down on the field.
Yeah.
But I jokingly said, when we finally beat them, that must have indicated that God was now saying, hey, I have someone else like the Cardinals. Because when you see the piece, you're going to hear Michael say over and over, the Cardinals. He could not believe we had beat them. But I could tell you, seven years, having never gone to the playoffs, but to beat the Cowboys in Texas Stadium is one of the highlights of my career.
Aeneas Williams joining us. He's the subject of A Football Life done by NFL Films, which will air this week on the NFL Network. You had Rex Ryan as your coach for 2 years in the desert. Everybody that plays for a guy that has been Buddy Ryan, a guy that has been one of the coaches of all time defensive-wise, has a different story about playing for him. What was it like to play for Buddy for those two seasons?
Well, first, true full disclosure, when Buddy got the job, I did not want to go back. My wife was getting her MBA at the University of Illinois, Wilstead in Champaign. And I was a restricted free agent. I remember telling my wife, when Buddy got the job, I'm not going back to Arizona. And all of this has a unique story that really applies to other young people, other people as well.
Did you not want to go back because of Buddy Ryan or just because of what your wife was dealing with?
No, sir. I didn't want to go back because I knew Buddy put his cornerbacks on the island.
Huh.
My first 3 years, so this would have been going into my fourth year. My first 3 years, I played under Fritz Schirmer, predominantly zone, and I wasn't sure that I could play exclusively man-to-man in Buddy's system. So I didn't tell my wife that. I just made up an excuse. But the truth was, I was afraid. And I could tell you, it was one of the best decisions. Once we prayed, and since that we were supposed to go back to Arizona, it was then when Rob Ryan and Rex were both on that staff. Rob was my defensive back coach. And Damon, Rob was the first coach that when they got the job, as soon as I saw him in the offseason, put his arms around me, he says, Aeneas, you can make all pro, you can make the Pro Bowl, and you can lead this league in interceptions because I saw you do it in college when you set the national record with 11 interceptions. He was the first coach that spoke it into me. And then through his conversation with his dad, he and his dad decided to put me on the best receiver in Buddy's defense. He had never done that in Chicago, Philadelphia, or Houston. I was the first, and Robert said in his piece, I was the first Revis Island. It was Aeneas Island. And that's when I realized how you develop potential. You put yourself in position where it's required to come out. And that's when my whole career began to change.
Wow, that's a great story. Aeneas Williams joins us, Pro Football Hall of Famer. In an unfortunate twist in your career, you ended up hitting Steve Young for the final time. He had a concussion, and then he ends up retiring after that. You're always known as a class guy, gentleman of the NFL. Did that affect you when that was the last hit that Steve Young played with?
No, it didn't impact me. One, it does impact me anytime someone injured. And just as a sidebar, that's why I love talking to today's players, because I'm seeing so much almost like disrespect toward each other with some of what we saw on Monday night. But when I hit Steve Young, it wasn't something to revel in or anything like that. It was a clean hit. It was a bang-bang play. My prayer was that Steve would obviously be fine. But I could tell you, because all of the 49er fans, I get blamed for their legacy and their dynasty changing because I hit Steve Young. So Dame and I finally, at the Hall of Fame, I asked Steve if he would do an interview for me, just so I could send it out to all the 49er fans. And when I interviewed Steve, he says, "Aeneas, no, let me let all of the fans know, Aeneas helped me make one of the best decisions of my life. I didn't hang around the game. It was decisive." He said, right after that, I got married. I got this beautiful family. I have this outstanding ESPN career. And you know what I asked him? I said, "Steve, then all of that good stuff, you should send me a check."
Aeneas Williams is an 8-time Pro Bowler, member of the Cardinals Ring of Honor, member of the All-Decade Team of the 1990s, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and the subject of A Football Life. Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the NFL Network. The one-hour show has sit-downs with, of course, Aeneas, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Chris Carter, Michael Irvin, many of his contemporaries in the 90s and early 2000s. Gentleman of the game, one of my favorite cornerbacks of all time, Aeneas Williams. Aeneas, this was a true honor to have you here on the show, man. I can't wait to see the special coming up on Friday. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Great work, Damon.
Aeneas Williams joining us here on the show. There was a group of players of the NFL that pushed the league to where it is now, that the NFL should forever be indebted to. And Aeneas is one of those guys. Aeneas plays on some awful Cardinals teams of the 90s, plays an entire decade, goes to the playoffs once, and is consistently one of the best players in football. He plays aggressively. He plays all out. He gives his heart. He gives his soul every single week. Doesn't need attention. Doesn't need the notoriety. You heard it when I asked him about that. Didn't worry about that. And somehow also was a total gentleman and a class act. Now, guys like that were the foundation of the NFL. And I think he's right. Today in the NFL, I worry that there isn't respect amongst players, which is weird because sometimes we say they're too jovial, they're too close, they party with one another, all of this. But there might be a lack of personal respect for one another and what's going on out there. Sometimes, and guys like Aeneas and before, when you played in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, even in the 90s and early 2000s, all those different chapters were different games and different chapters for the NFL. And the NFL is not who it is, what it is without guys like that. And sometimes I miss that NFL. A lot of times I do. And I'm not saying there's not good guys now. But whenever I have, you guys know if you listen to me during Super Bowl week, it is my orgasm week because we talk to guys that I grew up watching or I loved watching and I just think have such integrity about how they played and when they played. And I worry that the NFL every day gets farther and farther away from those types of guys, from coaches to players to the type of game it was to how the owners we're looking at the game, how the commissioner orchestrated the game. I feel like it gets farther and farther away. I can't wait for this. Football Lives are awesome by NFL Films. They just do amazing work. And this is a great series. And Aeneas Williams will be featured in that coming up on Friday. I'm really, really excited for this because a guy that just did not get his due because he played cornerback in Arizona for a decade. When we come back here on the show, Why start Eli now? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Loving this mid-morning mothership. Scramble me some eggs and try not to scramble my brain and beam me up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, the DA show is podcastable. Full episodes on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS. You can also watch us at watchda.com. Watchda.com is the live simulcast every single day of the show. You can watch it on your smartphone. It's mobile friendly on your computer or on your smart TV. And during commercial breaks, we run Nomad, which is my travel web series on YouTube. Why don't you go there and subscribe to Nomad so you get brand new episodes. I would really appreciate that around the holidays. A few new subscribers, never heard anybody. Simply search my name in Nomad and then hit the subscribe button on YouTube and you'll get them when I got them done. And today I'll be unveiling the most recent episode, which is my trip to San Antonio, the Riverwalk City, checking out some college football and eating the most ridiculous dessert I think I've ever tried to take down. Search my name, Nomad, on YouTube and subscribe. So the New York Giants announced that they are going to go back to Eli Manning. Ben McAdoo is out, Jerry Reese is out, and Eli Manning's back in. Guys, this is a Band-Aid over a hole in the ship. The ship is taken on water. It is sinking. No, you know what? It has sunk. And you have fired the guy that built the ship and the guy that was driving the ship. Okay, fine. Jerry Reese deserved to go. Too many holes in the roster. Too flawed of a composition of the roster. Too dependent on one player, Odell Beckham. And plenty of draft busts. The coach, disaster. Not ready for a leadership position. Ego run amok. Didn't understand how to connect with players. He can't ever be hired as a head coach again. Doesn't understand the role. Fine. But the Giants are also 2-10. And the only way that this season can be labeled any type of success is if it garners you a top three draft pick, a star cornerstone draft pick to build around, and you have found out what you have in a young quarterback in Davis Webb. It doesn't make any sense to be starting Eli Manning again. And I said this weeks ago, sitting Eli Manning wasn't the big deal. The big deal was sitting him for Geno Smith, which never made any sense. You don't need to assess Geno Smith. You know just how brilliant his three and out drives can be. You've seen enough Geno Smith to last you a lifetime. He ain't anybody's franchise quarterback. You do need to see what you have in Davis Webb, a third-round pick from last year. Because if Davis Webb actually is a quarterback, and I know what you might be saying, DA, I've never even heard of Davis Webb. I never saw one of his games. Davis Webb can't be a franchise QB. Well, remember, Russell Wilson was drafted where Davis Webb was. Dak Prescott was drafted after where Davis Webb was. There are guys in this league that are franchise QBs that were drafted where this kid was. Now, maybe he's just a project. But if he's just a project and you've got to draft another young quarterback here as your franchise cornerstone, well, you're not going to have a rookie quarterback that never got in learn the tutelage of the game from another rookie quarterback, or a second-year guy that didn't play learn from a rookie quarterback, and you don't carry three quarterbacks to teach the other guys what to do. Essentially, if they draft Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, whoever it is, Davis Webb is probably out of a job. If he's not, he's just a practice squad QB. If you're going to pull the plug on Eli Manning, which John Mara signed off on, it means we need to see about the kid. Not that we need to see about Geno, we need to see about the kid. And so they already said, let's see about the kid. And now they're like, let's just go back to Eli because everybody's so angry. Not how you find long-term solutions. You botched the Eli thing beyond compare. You should have handled it far differently. With class, with integrity, with dignity, with respect for Eli, and not go to Geno Smith. But starting Davis Webb makes sense the final four games of the season. And yet the Giants aren't going to do that. Time for the 12 DAs.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Mraz, you spit on somebody?
Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past.
This is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for staff members due to a little nor'easter. I can't have it.
Do you still feel a couple years later
that kind
way?
I'm not so interested in.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side.
It was a long morning for me.
The time is now. The place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with cheer.
January the 5th, Calvin calls in to give us what he thinks is a proper punishment for Mraz. Calvin's in Pennsylvania, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 98.7. What's up, Cal?
Hey, beat me up there, buddy, on your mothership.
All right. What's up?
Okay, I got an idea for Sean Mraz.
Yeah.
On this bet. He wants to make some bet. He'll do literally everything.
That's right.
Okay, this might teach the guy a lesson, what you call an old school lesson. Go out and buy 4 Angela hot peppers. If he loses, Giants lose this weekend, then there's something you can make him do in that studio and videotape it on YouTube and Facebook. Go out and buy 4 hot Angela peppers. He has to eat every one of them without nothing to drink.
All right.
Did Napoleon Dynamite just go up?
4 hot poppers.
It's actually not a bad taste. It's the hot.
Nothing to drink. I've got something he could do in the city. He could eat 4 poppers. Enchilada poppers. Nothing to try. To teach him a lesson. Old school lesson.
Facebook.
I could videotape it on YouTube. That's when we were trying to figure out what the proper punishment was for Mraz as he put his name and reputation on the line with the Giants in the wild card game. Of course, he lost that against the Packers, and we ended up pouring Crisco all over him and putting birdseed all over his Buddha belly and sending him out into Central Park in nothing but a Speedo. So that's one of the first 4 out. We still haven't even got to number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Tomorrow is the final first 4 out, like Joe Lenardi's bracketology. And then Friday begins our countdown with number 12. When we come back here on the show, a little epic fail and your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
While the sun is out.
Love you bringing the knowledge to the city, but it's a little cornbread over there.
They're afraid to be great. They're afraid to be great, man. Yeah, I can just let loose here.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, that is the voice of Bart Scott, who you may have heard will be part of a trio of hosts that take over for the retiring Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York, which means that Bart Scott's going to be back in our building. Here's a little juicy industry gossip. We wanted Bart back. I desperately did. Bart had done the last 2 years with us, doing football once a week with us on Wednesdays. Bart Scott Wednesdays, easily the best radio We do. We did. And he then signed a deal with ESPN Radio on the local side. So he was doing local radio in New York, and he couldn't. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it with us, obviously. Signed that contract. Now that he's back within the CBS family, oh, we're making sure Bart's in these studios. That starts January 2, so maybe it's around the holidays. Maybe it's around playoff time. We'll get him back. But I'm telling you, I will give up my left limb. Either one of them on the left side, leg or arm. The right side's tough. That's my dominant side. I would give up either of my left limbs to get him on the radio full-time with us next season. By full-time, I mean once a week. Again, we get him for a couple of hours. We have to have it. Has to be done. So you have my word. I will effort that at all costs, including my limbs. Left side, not right. Because I love Bart that much. Yesterday we had a bunch of tweets that came in that I couldn't get to for Trash Tuesday. And it felt like they were so good, I couldn't not read them on the air. So let me get to a couple of tweets that I want to read. Josh tweets, my life goals are number one, to be on the 12 DAs of Christmas.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
Number two, to have a soundbite on the show. Number three, meet the voiceover guy who says, epic trash job. Hashtag beam me up. You know, we should have voice guy on a segment at some point in time. Maybe in 2018 we can book voice guy.
I think we could probably make that happen. Be a lot of fun.
That would be great.
Ask him if he really signals out all our ridiculous liners we have. Zap, zap.
What do you mean, signals out?
Singles
out?
Single, because he does a lot of liners all over the country. Does he see ours and signal them out? Like his
signal them out?
You know, like, does he notice them?
Does he single them out?
What am I saying?
You're saying signal.
Like, signal them
like,
out.
No, you're saying it like bat signal or like police signal.
Signal them out.
Single. Like
single them out.
Like a baseball player hits a single.
Base hit a single amount.
Yeah. Well, it's not in context correctly at all, but.
Okay. Well, so I'm saying signal it single.
Yes. Whether he singles them out.
Singles them out.
Singles our liners out.
Yes.
Why do I feel like I'm in an Abbott and Costello routine?
Who's on first? Third base.
So we would ask Paul Turner, our voice guy, if he notices our stuff.
Better way to put it. Forget the confusion of the S words.
I think we should do that. On a Trash Tuesday, which now turned into a Trash Wednesday, Daniel tweets, I'm trashing my coworker who texted me and told me to tell the boss he wasn't coming in because he was sick. Look, it's not my responsibility to tell him you're not going to be there because you like to mix Jameson and cranberry juice and chase it with a Bud Light.
Hot trash.
Jason tweets, I'm trashing people who order online treadmills or workout equipment. Then months later, you see it sitting in the front porch, unopened, still in the box. You just had to make me deliver that heavy crap for no damn reason, huh? Hashtag Delivery Guy Nation.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Captain Johnny tweets, DA, I'm trashing cheese. Anytime we cut or grate cheese, later when I go to wipe the kitchen counters down, any little pieces of cheese get smeared in the countertop, like a preschooler doing a cheese finger painting.
Epic trash job.
You want cheese? Come get your cheese.
These are all good trashings. Well done, everybody. It's time for your cut line, stories that did not make the cuts.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
J.J. Watt says he want to, quote, hit it hard. He wants to hit it hard next season after going through the grueling rehab for a broken leg. J.J. Watt, of course, has missed most of this season, just like he missed most of last season. J.J. is still the SI Sportsman of the Year, along with Jose Altuve, for their work in Houston, not only winning World Series, but obviously everything that J.J. Watt did from the football side of things in terms of raising money within that city for the flood. But I hope that J.J. is back and playing next year because the league is better with him. The league is better not only with him, but it's better with guys like Aaron Rodgers. It's better with guys like Deshaun Watson. Think of how different the AFC playoffs would be if J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson were healthy for the Houston Texans. then there actually might be a threat in the AFC to either the Patriots or the Steelers. But right now, feels like it's a two-horse race.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
If Michigan lands Shea Patterson, it's a huge win for the Wolverines program. The Ole Miss quarterback is allowed to transfer because of the sanctions coming down within the Rebels program. And Jim Harbaugh wants him badly, and that's understandable. There's some Ole Miss to Michigan connections there that Shea might actually end up following. That'd be a huge win. Shea Patterson is the real deal. Highly coveted coming out of high school. Goes to Ole Miss. Certainly proved that he is a capable quarterback. And we've seen what the quarterbacking has been under Jim Harbaugh since he's been there. Pretty uninspired right now. I mean, serviceable, but not enough to be able to win championships. And I think Jim Harbaugh is slightly overrated. I think he's overrated from a coaching standpoint because he's in the news all of the time, because he's such a celebrity, because he knows how to create buzz around his program, that I think we assume because he's such a big name that he's a great football coach. He's a good football coach. He did a great job at Stanford. He did a great job at San Francisco. He's only merely doing a good job right now at Michigan. And at some point, they're going to have to break through and be able to beat Ohio State and beat Michigan State consistently and beat Penn State and get to the Big Ten title game and win the Big Ten. Because if Jim Harbaugh resides in Michigan and never wins a Big Ten, it's a failure of a coaching stint. Let's face it. So he needs guys like Shea Patterson to put them to that next level. Next year, they should be better. They were a young team this year. Adding Shea Patterson would be a huge addition for any program. And when they end up signing him, whenever he's eligible to play, would be a huge deal for the Wolverines.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Clinton Portis and Santana Moss admitted that they took a shot of Hennessy pregame for a season and a half in Washington along with their late teammate Sean Taylor. Is this a big deal? Not really. I mean, a shot of Hennessy, one shot, I don't think it's a big deal. If it was Josh Gordon getting hammered before games, that's a big deal to me. I think the reason this feels a little bit like a big deal is because Washington is always so dysfunctional and they never won anything of consequence when those guys were there. And it always felt like nobody was kind of in charge and things just got real loose. And that's the way it's always felt in Washington. So I think because of the players involved, because of the organization involved, that maybe it feels worse than it is, but I'm not too bothered about a shot of Hennessy before a football game because, as Clinton Portis and Santana Moss mentioned, we were hyped up and then filled with so many fluids, Gatorade, water, blah, 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 that it was out of our system within seconds, within minutes. I mean, look, one shot, whew, it wakes you up. It's not going to get you drunk before a football game, so I'm not too bothered about this.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Russia has been banned from the upcoming Winter Olympics because of their systematic doping within the government, which is just kind of an amazing story that 4 years ago, they had the government in on, okay, you guys take steroids, we'll cover it up, we'll change out your pee, we'll do this, we'll do that. Okay, we got this whole system. We're ready to go. You guys ready? All right, let's cheat our butts off. And yet, they still didn't win every medal. I mean, they had systemic, foundational, government-aided cheating, and they still didn't win everything. So now there will be Russian athletes allowed in if they pass drug tests and are passed by a board, but they won't compete for Russia. They'll be competing as an Olympic athlete from Russia, OAR, ORS. So look forward to ORS. Mraz, will Russia have a hockey team in this, or are they banned from this as well?
I tried doing a lot of digging on this. The way I see it, I don't believe they will have a hockey team because the way it is read is that individual athletes are Olympic players from Russia. I don't think you can make a team, just a team of Olympic players from Russia, if that makes any sense. Because you're playing as a team for the country as opposed to an individual sport.
And that would mean that Russia would win a medal.
Win a medal, even though it technically
they're not allowed to win a medal.
Exactly. Because the individual athlete can win a medal. I don't think this exists for team sports.
Okay, so that is a pretty good indicator that that's probably why Alexander Ovechkin gave up his fight to play in the Olympics, because there was never going to end up being a Russian team.
Exactly. Ovechkin was very outspoken when this first happened. He wanted to go, he wanted to go. And all of a sudden at a press conference, like, oh, no, you know, I'll listen to my bosses. And everybody said, oh, well, if Alex Ovechkin's backing off, he had to have seen this coming.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back. Every 150 points you earn, fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Tony tweets, DA, since the juju hit on Perfect was a legal play, was it fair that he's suspended for one game? Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair because there was a helmet-to-helmet collision. And it was a dangerous collision. And I think Juju probably gets part of that suspension because he stands over top of Vontaze Burfict. Look, had he not, I still think he suspended a game. I think the NFL wanted to hand down penalties from that game to say we won't allow this thing to unravel like this on national TV. We don't want this to seem like it's out of control. And a lot of people were uncomfortable watching that game on Monday night. At times, I was uncomfortable watching that game Monday night. But I don't have a problem with Juju getting suspended a game. I have a problem with Gronk only getting suspended a game. Gronk's hit happens after the football play. Gronk's hit doesn't happen in the heat of the moment while trying to win a football game while competing. He is a oversized baby in that moment and is clearly trying to be dangerous in lowering the boom with 6'5", 265 into the back of a guy's helmet, forcing him with a concussion. Gronk should have gotten two games, if not more. But at least two games, because honestly, is Gronk going to quote-unquote learn his lesson by missing one game where the Patriots will win anyway in Miami? Or would he really learn a lesson with 2 weeks out, including one against the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think one game is too light for Gronk. One game for Juju is fine. I'll keep saying it. Gronk's play is the dirtiest, scummiest play in the NFL this year because it didn't happen during a play. Kiko Alonso's hit, dirty. Juju Smith's hit, I think dirty. There's been other ones, but they all happened during the play. You're not acting out revenge after the play. Gronk's a loser. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. The only person that can warm the cold-hearted insides of one Pete the Body Bilotti would be Katie Lindahl and her gifts.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Pete, you better come in, too, unless you don't want to get gifted.
I mean, Pete wants to get gifted, and so he's going to have to swing over.
Yes.
Move off of the board. He's going to come into the studio. Mraz is going to sit in here.
The body.
Yeah. I love this, because when Katie comes in, it's just chaos like Christmas morning. Oh, I like this.
You remember, you were a Luigi.
He was Luigi, yes.
For Halloween, he dressed up as Luigi. Yeah.
He gets no respect.
So I've hooked you up with, you can open this tin. It is a question block tin.
Question block.
It is from ThinkGeek. It is custom to you. It'll enhance your laziness. Go ahead, open up. Pete, you re-engineering the Hadrian Collider over there? Come on, open
the
box.
Bilotti, open up the damn box.
Come back when you've opened it. So, here, Pete, hook everybody up with some big-ass brick of soap.
This is great.
A little more juice.
Okay, what did Pete end up getting after 45 minutes?
I got Luigi's arch nemesis, Mario Pajamas.
Mario Pajamas,
okay. Super Mario Lounge Pants.
You wore sweatpants every day.
This is a pretty good,
I was really
cool
excited
gift.
About those.
Very nice.
Those are brand new on the market. You might be one of the first in the world to get them.
I'm going to put them on now.
Working pajama pants, just like you like.
Arch nemesis.
He wanted to make things
Luigi.
Right, you know?
Yeah.
He knew you were frustrated.
Everyone hates the pace of play.
He knew you weren't feeling great about the situation in Super Mario, so he hooked you up with the lounge pants.
Listen, to get an idea of what our Trash Tuesday is. You know what?
Gifting goes a long
now.
Way.
You know, Katie,
much better.
You're great because you're the only person that could soften the icy heart of Pete Bilotti.
That's right. I'm feeling very warm inside right now.
Good.
I'm Very caring.
Hold on to that, because that'll last about 35 seconds. Then it'll go back to being
bigger again. He's going to cry over pajama pants.
Straight downhill.
Woo!
You've been the only person in Peabody's life that has actually injected some type of cheer and joy into his soul. So this
we should have got on the Jelly of the Month club. And okay, just nailed it in.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Such good gifts that Katie Linadal dropped off for us. And Marais, I can't wait to see the huge inflatable New York Giants helmet in your yard. It's got to happen on Sunday, right?
Oh, Sunday for Giants Cowboys. This is the best week for me as a Giant fan. Ben McAdoo, Jerry Reese fired, and I got an inflatable helmet for the front lawn.
It will look so obnoxious.
I'm Instagramming it right away Sunday morning.
And it's the return of Eli, so it's an emotional moment for you.
Huge. We have Cowboy fans all over the neighborhood, so I hope they don't pop it. But this is going to be a big Sunday. I am fired up.
And you get to put the stake in the heart of the Cowboys if the Giants win.
Exactly. Oh, the big inflatable helmet's like a big middle finger to all the Cowboy fans in the neighborhood.
Permission Granted podcast going to be released later on today. We're recording it right after the show, so look for it on iTunes. We'll also tweet it out as well. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete, the body, Bilotti. The body.
The body.
Yeah, on the wheels of steel. Now, a warm, kind-hearted soul. And Andrew Kaplan, that does a great job. He does a great job at WatchDA.com with the graphics and the footage and the camera work. Thanks so much, Cap. The Mothership Disconnect. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.